Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
That's the way we get down. Click, clack, pow.
You don't have to, motherfucker, for your shit. Just take it.
Tomorrow, Nappy Roots Dynasty, yeah, two deep black power cartel. This living hieroglyph, the truth in your ear. Run it, these crackers sucking dog dicks in the closet. But you love them cause they pay your first and 15 deposits. Lot of niggas broken, starving with CDs in their trunk. The dummy signing major deals and white to eat in them up. I sit the stairs and he don't guarantee. Some may hate and disagree. Entertainment's only a small revolution remedy. I know a lot of gatos across the country. Drop that lock and load so we can bump and never borrow. Street code propriety, black power dynasty. Fuck boys and skinny jeans can't rock in our society. We should buy food, land, shelter, most choppers. To drain the wicked cat day and serve them something proper.
Wake up, black man. Wake up, African man, African woman. Wake up. Take back what is yours. Do not ask these bitches for your shit. Take it
back.
Serve them something proper, hey yo. Serve them something proper.
kids, you just ain't joined in with this situation. The cracker is throwing blows, but you ain't throwing no blows back. You taking all the motherfucking pain, the punishment. You understand what I'm saying?
Peace, black family, black power, how are y'all tonight? Tonight, economics 101, we're going to be talking about getting our economics in order. This is not going to be a feel-good show. This is not going to make you want to scream and holler and raise your fist to the sky screaming black power. No, this is going to cut a little bit. It's going to be deep because we got to be honest. You know, we got to be honest about the fact that we keep screaming revolution. We keep saying that, matter of fact, that song that I just played is Aisha Sekhmet, Yuhuru Safa, which means freedom now. We keep screaming this. We keep screaming Imhotep, black power, black nation building. Let's get our own. Let's do this. Let's do that. I only scheduled the show for an hour this evening. If I need to schedule it longer, I will. Y'all just let me know. Or if we get to the end of this show and it's not enough time, I'll go ahead and, you know, extend it or whatever. But as everyone knows, I'm doing, I did three radio, tomorrow will be my third radio show this week. So it's kind of like I just didn't want to really burn myself out or make y'all tired of hearing my voice. So that being said, we're going to talk about economics 101 or lack of economics, better yet. One of the show description, it says, I've heard information is to be told and not sold. And yesterday, I see a couple of people who are in the chat room who were on my show yesterday. I had Brother Kush on there. And, you know, I started going in on bootleggers and things like that. How do we start a revolution? How do we do this when we are so unwilling to fund the revolution? So I did a little research to find out how much the American Revolution was. Because, see, like Brother Sean Kwali has said many times before, the black man and the black woman over here in the hills of North America are the only people who have never had a real revolution. We've had sit-ins, we've had protests, we've had vigils, we had marches, but we've never had a revolution. Revolution is bloody. A revolution is gory. A revolution, people gonna die. I don't know if people really understand that or conceptualize how serious it is, but it's very serious. So I did a little research to find out how much, back in 1775, how much did it cost to fund the American Revolution? $14.8 million. I know that doesn't sound like much to us. I mean, I've never personally seen $14.8 million myself in this day and age, not in real life. But imagine 335 or whatever years ago. We're talking about $14.8 million it took to fund the American Revolution. Now, they borrowed money. They got promissory notes. All the arch nemesis of Great Britain was giving the colonies money and all this other stuff. But the fact is they got the money to fund the revolution. So they understood what it cost. It cost money. It cost blood. So, family, we're going to talk about, like I said, we keep talking about revolution, but we're not willing to fund the revolution. So I don't know what kind of revolution the black man and the black woman actually wants, because I really don't think the black man or woman here in North America understand what it really is. Or when they do understand what it really is, they get scared or they choose not to do anything about our current condition and situation. And like Brother Sean Kwali always states, revolution is complete change, reconstruction. So, family, let's delve into this. We have so many people out here talking about information is to be told, not sold. We have our national chairman flying from Maine to Miami, from San Diego to Seattle, Washington, or whatever, because there's all kind of unjust things going on, and pretty much he has to come out of his pocket for this. This is not something that he's living high on the hog, and it's just he has a private jet or whatever. These are our leaders that I'm talking about. You know, these people are putting their life on the line, getting death threats. Brother Kush, another one, you know, losing family members for this. And we, who's the ones who's pumping our fists in the sky, stealing money from these people. You have every race of people who literally, every race and every ethnic group, they literally fund their leaders. They fund certain organizations. Hell, you got PBS or, I think it's PBS. Well, you can will your estate or your money to them. This is wild. Public broadcasting station or whatever it is, PBS. You can will your stuff to them. We don't even have that. We refuse to do that. We refuse to give up the money. Well, a lot of us don't have any money, right? The situation in North America, if you're waiting to get a job, you pretty much SOL. You SOL, because it ain't going to happen. Brother Person Kid will be calling in a while, and he can break that down a little bit better because he has inside information, and he's privy to certain information that we, the layman, are not privy to. So, matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and get him online now. Let me see here. Another person, kid, you there?
Yeah, Hotep.
Hotep, bro. Okay, well, let me just finish this statement before I let you chime in. One of the things that I was saying that a lot of us don't have any money to give this revolution or have any money to fund and fuel this revolution. And what I'm trying to state is if you're waiting to get a job that's paying any substantial amount of money, don't expect it. We have to get back to fundamentals and muster up that entrepreneurial spirit that you know we were born with. We're the most innovative people in the world, on the globe. We can make something out of nothing. We watched our mothers and our fathers do it for decades, so you know we can do it. We've already seen prime examples of black successful businesses. Once we get serious about the business of being serious, there's nothing that can stop us or stand in our way. So I suggest to everybody who's listening, who's an earshot of my voice, in your community with like-minded people that you have in your cipher, y'all need to start doing the same thing that the Ethiopians are doing that I learned yesterday on my show also. Every week they put $200 into a pot. Then at the end of the year, somebody can start their own business, because I'm going to tell you, these banking institutions, they're not giving out any loans for you, black family. Let me explain something to you. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. And one of the, when I was home last time, my mom had the Dayton Daily News on her kitchen table. And it's a picture of this black man standing at his chain link fence. And it says, denied home loan. His brother owned his home for over 35, 40 years. He had a credit score, family. Y'all about to fall out your seat, I'm telling you. He had a credit score of 800. Nobody has a credit score of 800. You might have half that, but you definitely don't have a credit score of 800. He had a credit score of 800. He wanted to pull out a home improvement loan or whatever. I don't know if it's refinancing or exactly what it's called, but they denied him this. This man has steady income, because like I said, he's retired, and he has a credit score of 800. They still denied him. They gave poor whites who have credit scores of 630 is the lowest, 600 and whatnot, they gave them some loans, but would not give this black man. So if you're waiting on these banking institutions that are ran by these types to give you any money to start your business, you're sadly mistaken. When I keep saying, family, we are all we got, but you think that's just some colorful euphemism. I'm serious. We are all we got. We are all we can depend on. We have nobody else. We have no friends. We are the only ones that are in this boat together. You might see a person along the way of a different background that might be, that might want to help you along the way, but don't get a mistaken, family. We don't have any friends or alliances in this. So we have to look to each other to depend on one another to get us ourselves out of this situation. No, we didn't get in this situation by what we have done, but our inactivity and what we're not doing is keeping us at the bottom of the food chain. Brother Person Kid, can you chime in right here and tell us what happened over in Japan, or tell us as much as you can? That's how it's going to affect
that
us.
Later, because that's pretty, it's pretty involved. And I'm
okay, sure.
A lot more information. I'm getting a lot more information about it right now. Actually, as you speak, there's, you know, a lot of the trade desk, the Asian session is, it opened, so it's kind of, the fallout is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought up the thing about what's happening with Ethiopians, because I start out by asking folks, are you comfortable where you're at? Are you comfortable where black folk are at? Do you feel good? Is this a good position? And anyone that's comfortable is someone that doesn't have anything to live for. You know, and I say that formula, you know, of comfort or convenience equals comfort equals laziness equals inaction, and it's a disease that poverty soon overtakes. You know, I mean, they're interchangeable, but it's pretty much the thing. You know, I always ask, are people comfortable? Is this where they like it? Most people, if they say they are, then that means they're, you know, let's put it this way. I just had a seminar just happened. I was just looking over some of my newsletters, and I get newsletters from hedge funds, from, you know, I mean, a lot of the folks I get newsletters from don't have any problem seeing what next month's rent will be, you know. And he said, wealth equals your time and your energy. And my mom's husband said, you can always tell a person by where they spend their time and their energy. And their time and their money, and that'll tell you where their energy is. Black folk, do we spend our money? A lot of times, it's on some other product that we buy from someone else, whether it's water, whether it's our rent, our internet, or even our food. Where do we spend our time? Pagers, blogs, YouTube's. You name it. You know, so you can actually tell a person who they are and what they do by their time and their money. When you were talking about the Ethiopians, that's a classic example. We see it with the Hispanics where I'm at. They spend their time, of course, you know, they might be hanging or whatnot, but they spend their time cutting the lawns, selling oranges on the street, doing drywall, whatever, and they spend their money by buying homes and supermarkets and things like that. So you can actually tell, you know, it's like the small hat, hook-nosed, bagel-eating Jews, what they've done, what the low-life Arabs have done, what the Asians are doing. I mean, the evidence shows up. You know, it's Brother Kush says it's the record. You know, you can see it. It's like, you know, it's as plain as, like my dad says, it's as plain as a goat going up the hill backwards. You know, the thing is, when you're saying about Ethiopians, there was eight people in the chat room, for instance. And this is something when I think a lot of, and especially a lot of the black folk, I listen to, you know, the blog talks as I'm trading. And I'm learning new trading techniques, you know, of trying to get money or whatnot. You know, I mean, I do a lot of trading, and I also teach a lot of trading. So as I do that, I try to find where are black folks' minds at. Now, when I'm not doing, you know, listening to us, it's always getting reports from what's happening around the world, especially what happened last night, because that's just part of the business. You know, it's for me, trading is business. We have to analyze, and when you said the Ethiopians, there's eight of us in the chat room. Now, there were times when I listen to the rebroadcast, and I see there's a lot of folks that listen. Okay, when I look at the listeners, and sometimes chat rooms might have 10 to maybe even 20 people in them. And I say, out of all those 20 people, if like the Ethiopians, they put 200 a week or whatnot, and say black folk might not have that. Say if there's eight of us and we put $80. Okay, it would be $80 a month, okay, between, you know, $10 a person as eight people, $80 a month into something. And so you have $960 or roughly $1,000 a year. Now, I know that's a very small, small amount, but a lot of times when you say the time and the money of what can a person do, $1,000 could buy gardening tools for maybe three or four young brothers at the age of 15, or maybe 15, 16, 17, gardening tools, to where they can undercut all the Mexicans and do real good work, they'll pull that $1,000 in probably a week. You'll make, and if they're doing that, that's $52,000 a year, okay? You've made over 52 times your money just with eight people. Now think of the 20 people that are in chat rooms and lectures and blog talks or in YouTube. Think about 40 people. Think about the brothers that are doing these so-called, you know, debates about Kemet and I mean, that's the mindset of where your time and your energy are. I see it every
it's
day.
It's called mental masturbation. And I don't want to be misquoted for everybody who is listening. I'm not talking about any kind of sexual anything, no. I'm saying mental masturbation. Sitting up here having all these talks about esoteric and abstract ideas have gotten us nowhere. Family, let's be practical in what we're doing and what we're speaking about and how we're going. I mean, look, I'm sorry. I can't get rich off of dematerializing myself to Jupiter. I can't get rich off of that, okay? Because, number one, I can't do it. Number two, if I could do it, then I'd probably be like a freak sideshow, circus show. This stuff is not going to help you get rich. It's already been many books written about it. You're just regurgitating the stuff that you heard or the stuff that you think that you know. The bottom line is, it's not going to help us get rich, family. Let's apply practical solutions and stop having all these debates about theologies and religion and all this other stuff and get to work, because I'm telling you, it's scary out here. We are at the bottom of the food chain. There is nothing, first of all, that used to keep you around because you were cheap labor. You ain't even the cheapest labor no more, family. What they need you for? What do they need you for? You are a liability, not an asset. Economics 101. You are a liability now. They're looking at you through their icy cold blue eyes, and they're looking at the crimes that we're committing, and I understand racism, white supremacy, and why we are doing what we're doing. Don't get me wrong. I don't want y'all to be like, man, Fasami, she just flipped the script. No. No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm not flipping the script. I understand why we're doing what we're doing, but I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you as if, you know, speaking from the white person's perspective. They're looking at you. You're nothing but a bunch of animals. You're running around here causing mischief, mayhem. Your women are good-for-nothing whores. Your men are a bunch of sagging, shuffling, itchy, scratchy buffoons who can't even speak proper English. You know, you don't carry yourself in a manner that deserves any respect. You're having babies left and right. But yeah, it's okay to have babies, but are they of quality? Or what are you teaching them? Are you teaching your daughter at 4 years old how to shake it like Beyonce? What are you teaching these children so they don't see any worth in you? And now you're not even the cheapest labor? Now you're not even, they don't even need you. You've already built their country, their empire, Babylon, for them. They don't need you, family. So if you're thinking you're going to have protection from that, you're sadly mistaken. Let's get it together. I'm very heated tonight. I don't know why, because I hear so many people talking about, see, what we need to do is and what we should do is. Man, stop talking and just do it. Do y'all already know Sister Fasami from BTR talking about her, why am I talking about myself in third person? Talking about my school. I already have a concrete investor, a brother. A concrete investor in my school. So this is how we have to build, and this is how we're going to have to grow. Now, once my school gets off the ground, guess what? I'm going to be looking at the same thing that this brother looked at when it comes to me. Do they have a solid business plan? What are the risks? What are the losses that I am willing to suffer if this business fails? You know, and I'm going to invest in my people because, like I said before, it all goes back to we all we got. Don't think about banks. Don't think about credit unions. Don't think about any kind of banking institution whatsoever, because they don't, to these people who are in control, you're worthless to them. Go ahead, Brother Person Kid.
Yeah, and reason I say it, because I believe in expediency. And in 5 seconds, I gave actually a way for folks to make $52,000, 8 people. Now, there's more people in the chat room. And the reason is because I see crackers that do it all the time. Again, like I say, I know one that gives seminars whose living room is $100 million. Okay? So, and that's the way they think. They go out, they're very frugal, they're constantly, I think I told you I used to work for a very well-known small hat entertainer who's, everybody tries to say he's the king of the jazz or whatever, but anyways, you guys will figure out who that is. This is a guy who cuts coupons and still, they collect and, very frugal, you know. In 5 seconds, I gave folks a way of making money. For instance, now you've got, let's see, I think 10 or 11 people in the chat room. Okay, you guys want to make another 62 grand. These are ways of doing it. Okay, for instance, if everyone, say you have 11 people in a chat room, and they give 10 bucks, okay, that's 600 bucks, I mean, that's 10 bucks times, that's 110 bucks right there, say 6 months. So you have 660 bucks in 6 months. They can buy a few sewing machines, okay? Those sewing machines can deploy to some maybe 9, 10-year-olds or whatever, even 15-year-old brothers and sisters to learn how to fix clothes that people wear for, like, you know, everything from their clothes for, like, a gardener or somebody who's in the construction or even in an auto bill or auto department. Or they can, you know, fix military clothes. Or they can fix – and so they're sewing. And that's all they do is they repair clothes. Say they make – you know, say they could make 100 bucks a month. Maybe they'll make 200 bucks a month. Just repairing socks, clothes, little things like that. They have just amplified their money in 6 months, okay? And within a year, they can make that kind of money and then some, okay? And think about deploying it with 10 young children doing that. I mean, we've got to start thinking a little bit more. So in 5 seconds, I just told you how to make, just in that 5 seconds, think of it this way. Buy 2 computers, okay? Teach a couple of 11-year-olds website design. You know, the software is free out there. So you've taken those 2 computers and say you, you know, teach a few, you know, one class does website design and the other class does things about how to maybe internet security or maybe even how to show people how to use email. So, you know, there's a lot of elders, a lot of people that still don't know how to use email or even Microsoft Word. So what you do is you set up 2 classes, and all the elders and all, I don't care if the, or it doesn't even have to be elders. It's just anyone who does not know how to use a service. All of a sudden you say, okay, charge 20 bucks for every little thing you do. Okay? So you have 10 youth doing it here and 10 doing there. Say you spent 660 bucks, you know, doing this. Next thing you know, you've amplified the money within a year. I mean, this is the mindset that a lot of other folks have. Like I say, I'm around Indonesians all the time, Asians, India, crackers, small hats, you name it, Hispanics, definitely. I see the way that others operate, and a lot of times within 2 hours, and I listen to a lot of the blog talks, I'm glad you brought it up. In 2 hours, I mean, in just less than 5 minutes, I gave you more than 2 hours of many of the nationalist blog talks. Because a lot of us are, we like to feel good, we like to get that, you know, we gotta get the info, we gotta plan the plan, but I just gave you a way of making money. My mom taught us that, and every so-called Christmas season, 6 children that she raised alone had more money than most black folks, okay, and this is back in the 70s, than most black folks today have, with all their conveniences and with every, and this is within 3 months, we had more of what my mother showed me than most of us can have in 6. So this is just the mindset and how to condense what we have. There's a lot of ways of making your money. Just have whatever money you have in your pocket, say, what can I do with it? What should I do with it? And how can I amplify this money, whether collectively or as an individual, to bring to the collective? Something I want to impart on you guys, and it's very important. Every time you leave the house, you spend money. It's unavoidable. Whether it's walking down the street getting water, whether it's letting the air out of your house and your heat is on, whether it's turning off the lights or turning on the lights, you always spend money every day. The key is to make 10% of it back every time you leave, whether it's creating a business, getting a new client, putting money together with others and buying gardening tools or sewing equipment for you. It's about making that money back.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I want to tell you, family, I went to costofwar.com Matter of fact, I can put it in the chat room. Bear with me, family. And I want to tell y'all something. While we're sitting up here thinking revolution is free, war is free, the total cost of war since 2001, this is mind-boggling, $1,080,561,212,000, because it's going by so fast. Now it's at 245,000. But we're talking about over $1 trillion. The cost of war in Iraq is $747,183,084,000. I mean, yeah, 80, now it's 91,000. Cost of war in Afghanistan, $333,378,295,000 and counting. This is, if you go to that, you can see how the little ticker, it's like a ticker and it keeps going up every second, like every second it's going up. And why does the black man and the black woman think revolution is going to be free? Why are we still pussyfooting around here thinking everything is just beautiful and roses and everybody wants to go, I want to go into my inner self and find the deeper meaning of life. Man, you're not going to have a life if you don't get out here and work. I don't think people are really, this is a clarion call, people. You're not going to have a life to ponder anything if you don't get out here and really start building your nation. Listen, I love to run my mouth. I love to talk to my family. I love to practice race responsibility every day. But the biggest thing that you can do to practice race responsibility is to actually do something. Let entertainment, like, this is not really entertainment. I say this is edutainment. DVDs from PKV or War on the Horizon or, you know, Googling Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Minister Nzinga, finding out what they've said, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, knowing all this stuff, reading all that. That can be your reward at the end of the day once you have put your boots to the concrete and put in work to help build the foundation of this nation, because it's not going to happen overnight, and we might not see it in our lifetime. But at least we can know that our children are going to pick up the torch and keep building this. This is war, family. This is war. And just like that song just said at the beginning of the show, you just ain't actively engaging. You're taking an ass whoop. We are taking an ass whoop. The black man is known for knocking heads, you know, like straight whooping people's asses, but we are taking an ass whoop. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't understand. Like I said, this ain't going to be one of them feel-good shows today. This is serious, and I'm giving you these stats and these statistics for a reason, because I want you to understand. Now, I'm not trying to come at you like Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes. I don't want your money. I don't want anything from anybody, like, you know, unless you, if you want to help fund my school, fine, great, let's do it, let's build, because you already know what kind of children I'm going to be producing out of that school. They're going to be thorough, and they're going to be right and exact, so if you want to go ahead and do that, that's fine, but that's not what the show is about. We're not, the New Black Panthers are not begging anybody for money, no, we're trying to make you understand that a revolution costs money. Brother Person Kid, I have to look up some information, so could you go ahead and tell them about, I need for you to tell them about Japan now, because we're running out of time.
Okay, basically what it is, and a lot of times we look at the grand scheme, like, of course, you know, crackers are going to be spending money. This money we're not going to get. One of the things that happened over in Japan is, of course, they did what's called currency intervention. Now, a lot of folks might not understand, and it doesn't really matter. Bottom line is there's a major competition going on around the world, and it's going to force the United Snakes to try to compete, i.e., they're going to try the best that they can before this election thing to do the same thing Japan did. They already did it, actually, right before. Because of these elections, they're going to be forced to raise interest rates, taxes, and everything else, as well as raising ages for pensions, retirement age for pensions, as well as cutting and deferring those who are getting into the so-called job market, those who are lucky enough to find one, making sure that they have different types of retirement. Basically, they're cutting off the things that black folk need tremendously. Bottom line, most of us work for somebody else because a lot of us don't have our own corporations or businesses or whatnot. So therefore, we're subjected to everything that's going to happen to this cracker because of what happened in Japan. And it's, I mean, it was set to happen, okay? Things like that are supposed to happen when economies, when people are trying to fight or protect against each other. The thing is a lot of us get caught up into the grand scheme of things or what crackers and everyone else is. Bottom line, it's not going to be a so-called Merry Christmas for the vast majority, okay? Your jobs are going to get cut. You're going to be paying more for fines, paying more for bills, paying more for taxes, for credit cards, interest rates. You're going to be paying more, bottom line. You're going to get less for retirement. You're going to get less for medical care, bottom line, and in particular if you're black. It's going to happen within the next it's going to happen starting this year and into probably the next to the 5 to 7 years. There's no way around it, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. One of the things in our platform, point two, we want full employment for our people, and we demand the dignity to do for ourselves what we have begged the white man to do for us. We believe that since the white man has kept us deaf, dumb, and blind and used every dirty trick in the book to stand in the way of our freedom and independence, that we should be gainfully employed until such time we can employ and provide for ourselves. Well, that is beautiful when Clinton was in office. But before George Bush came in office and what's going on now today, this is not going to happen, family. This is in our 10-point platform, but it's not going to happen. It's a must that we employ ourselves. Another thing that I wanted to get into is we keep talking about, like I said, nation building and all that other stuff, and that comes out of the 10-point platform also, that we want our own black nation. We believe in the spiritual high moral codes of our ancestors. They were the architects of civilization. People call it ancient civilization. Well, if it's so ancient and it's not applicable to today, then why are we still copying and mimicking exactly what it is that they do? It's just been watered down a little bit, and it's been perverted by you know who, the devil. It's been perverted by him. So, therefore, those rules that they live by are still applicable to us today. Now, we come from a stock of people who actually built, as me and Brother Person Kidd was talking earlier today, we actually built the pyramids. It's the stock that we come from. It's not as though we can't go out here and physically build a physical nation. I'm not just talking about acquire a landmass and kick whoever is non-black or whoever is non-African American out or whatever of that landmass and, you know, just be there. No, we have to physically build. We have an architect who's on the phone with us right now. I know personally of another brother, I don't want to put his business out there, but he's always on this show, listening to this show. He's in school to be an architect. We actually, if we're going to go to school, if we're going to go to these, Jew schools and get their education or whatever, and I don't knock it because you already know I've stated this many a times. I got a couple of the degrees from Jew schools. However, if you're going to do it, get it in a field where you can actually apply what you learn to us building our nation. We need doctors, we need lawyers, we need teachers, we need architects, we need computer engineers, we need anybody in any kind of engineering field. You know, well, not anybody. We need us to be in all engineering fields. We need all of this stuff, family. What happened to the Benjamin Bannekers and the Charles Drews and the George Washington Carver? What happened to these people? I know it's been a systematic dumbing down of our people. But, family, we've acquired the knowledge. We know that it's all a farce. We know that the things that they have told us are a lie. Now that we know it, when are we going to separate, literally, physically separate ourselves from them? So, family, this is what I ask you to do. As of right now, I'm going to hold everybody accountable. If me and you ever are in close proximity with one another, one of the things that I'm always look for, and I want y'all to always look for this also, do you have bootleg DVDs and CDs of progressive black people? I'm not talking about the Rihannas. I'm not talking about the Chris Browns or any of them. I'm talking about the progressive black family. Or did you actually go out and purchase the original merchandise from the people who made it? I don't want to see anything plagiarized by our people, not plagiarized, excuse me, bootleg. I don't want to see anything bootleg. Now, if you want a bootleg Avatar movie 2012, if you want a bootleg Why Did I Get Married 1 and 2, whatever it is you want to bootleg, something stupid like that, bootleg the hell out of it if that's what you choose to do. But for our people, let's stop cutting ourselves off at the feet before we even get into the race. So that's one of the things I'm going to hold me and my family, and that's everybody who is on this line who can hear me. Y'all are my family. I'm responsible to and for y'all, vice versa. Y'all are responsible for me also. So you have to hold me accountable and hold me to a certain level. So if you're sitting up here doing unscrupulous things, like stealing from the very organizations that are trying to help you get free, I'm going to check you on it. I got a problem with you. You're not as conscious as you think you are. Number two, stop spending your money in places where these people don't even like you. I'm bringing what I learned from my show yesterday back over to this show because it's applicable. See what I'm saying? So stop spending your money with these furry, hairy back, unibrow, hook nose Arabs who hate you, stole everything from you, claimed it as their own, bought and sold you, were the first ones while you sitting up here running around talking about the Anglo-Saxon. Man, these Arabs hate you. So stop spending your money all cheesing, all happy, kicking up your heels when you go up into their bootleg-ass gas station. The meat is rotten. The milk is rotten. They sell you the worst things they can find. They never clean or clear their shelves. They got porno in eyesight of your children. They're selling crack pipes to your children in public and straight up view. Everybody can see this stuff. You know, stop going in there spending your money in there. It's no purpose. Next thing, ladies, I understand we got to go to, I know I can pretty much guarantee nobody who's listening to this got hair weave. I can pretty much guarantee that. But if you got to go to the Korean store and get something, try looking on the computer a natural remedy for whatever it is you're trying to do to your hair and not go to that Korean store and make his pockets rich so he can send it back over so he can build his nation. How about you try to find a natural remedy for, what, like I said, whatever it is you're trying to do to your body or your hair, okay? Because it's not worth going to make these people, it's unjust enrichment. You know, you're giving them money, and you have, to me, well, I know what unjust enrichment is. I'm changing the definition a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You're not justified in enriching these people at all. So, like I said, I changed the definition. Brother Person Kid, do you want to add anything onto that?
Sure. You know, I like to cut to the chase and make things because in 5 minutes, like I say, I like to, you know, even though as loquacious as I can, when I talk money and when I talk to do things, the folks that have done these things and the 5 minutes that I give you do more than what a lot of people say about 2 or 3 hours. You guys want to make some money? Here's another thing. There's a thing about, and we'll get to the Koreans because I said it on the other show about how much sisters spend with Koreans. You guys want to make some money or save money? There are things called coupons. I brought that up earlier, and this is the reason. I knew a cracker real well, and we talk all the time. Guy's got two homes. He's liquid. $160,000 a month. He's liquid, which means he's making over like $200,000 or $300,000 a month. Here's what they do: they gather their they clip these coupons out of papers, whether the papers, and they make sure they have the right dates. Did you know coupons are currencies? Okay, because anything that can save, like I said, when you leave the house, you have to make 10% more than what you made when you left the house. Okay, therefore, at least you make some money coming back. Coupons are currency, whether you can trade them as favors, whether you could trade them for money. There's and a lot of these so-called wealthy and rich folks are not dumb, okay? They deal with coupons. They're on the net. They're all over the newspapers. They're everywhere. A lot of times we go to the store and we pay face value. I've been around the world everywhere except for Antarctica to the Arctic. Everybody bargains except for the United States, okay? We pay face value. Okay, what is this? This is how much? And we don't even give a thought to that. There's also other ways to make money. A lot of times you get brothers out there and they just love their rims and their cars or whatnot. Well, the time premium that they spend doing that is time premium away from, you know, getting together, being able to use their talents, whether it's helping fix a sister's sink or something else. They can get these young brothers to do not only their car, but line up all the cars, get all the neighborhood cars, make sure that they're washing them. Another thing, sisters. A lot of you guys, no doubt about it, are spending all this money, and I gave the rundown exactly how much and billions that sisters spend with other races getting their hair and nails done. I mean, the cost of vanity is actually the cost of genocide, you know. So, you know, they're in direct proportion, because what you're not doing, first off, the chemicals that you use are making not only the Koreans rich, but the same folks that are still oppressing you that are creating those chemicals, the Dow, the DuPonts, and some of those chemicals nobody even knows where they're coming from, okay? And the byproducts that will kill you later on in life and give you cancers and brain tumors and things like that.
No, it's so, killing us now. Look, I know everybody on this phone knows at least one young lady in her early or mid 20s that has some kind of cancer of some sort. Usually a cervical cancer or breast cancer or ovarian cancer or some kind of cancer like that. First of all, if you don't think it's connected to that, check this out. Why do they tell you to stop relaxing your hair when you're pregnant? Come on, family. Let's use our heads here a little bit. Stop doing that. Go ahead.
Sister Fasami, I have a friend who's with the FDA, and this is very important why I have to get this across, because a lot of folks don't realize I trade, okay? I see market values. I see what chemical companies, when they're getting level 2 announcements, what's happening. Those chemicals that you guys are putting in, I know this guy. He's a real good friend of mine. He approves these drugs for the FDA. And a lot of them, he's just straight up said, whatever they do, you run the other way, okay, because they're not for black folks. And matter of fact, they will kill black folks. He tells me when there's level 2 announcements, level 1 announcements, things like that. This is straight up, okay? If you guys are compelled to do that, every time you walk into those stores that get your nails done and stuff, find out why are they wearing those masks and you guys aren't, okay?
That's right.
So, that's just common sense, okay? Now, if you guys are compelled to do this, and I'm not saying all of you, but try to develop something as sisters that says, how are we, one, going to put our money together where we can create our own shop? Remember, the time premium and the money that you use going in there, you can do it in someone's garage, okay, if you're compelled to breathe those chemicals and continue to do that. Like I said, the cost advantage is in direct proportion to the cost of genocide. The thing is, if you guys can do that and save the money, what you guys spend, and we did a whole cost analysis of it, what a small family spends in a year getting the cost of vanity is enough to put, and even in today's housing market, is enough to put a down payment, that at least that 20% down payment, in a place even overvalued as L.A. So the thing is it depends on what you want to do. You can tell a person by where they spend their time and their money. These are just ideas to actually save you money as well as make you money.
Come on, family, let's put them out of business. Let's put them out of business. We are the ones who spend trillions, billions, untold amounts of money every year on dumb stuff, on stuff that is so irrelevant. Limit your contact with them as much as possible. I know you got to go to work. I do know this. I understand you got to pay your rent or pay your mortgage. I do understand that you have to pay your utility bill. I'm sure some of you don't even have cable because that's a luxury, and really, in our circles, I wouldn't even have cable if it wasn't for my husband. He's the one who sits up there and thinks he can watch all 1,100 channels. For what reason? Don't know. But I don't hardly ever turn on the TV. I need some quiet time, some peace and quietness. Now, I'm not knocking those who do have cable and all 1,100 channels, or if you have satellite or whatever, you get 52,000 channels. Don't know. Don't care, but I know you got to pay that bill if you did subscribe to it and you did get it, okay? I understand that we have to do these things, okay? But try to limit how much you spend with them as much as possible, okay? I'm going to give y'all a prime example. We have last around the holidays last year, my husband, he was like, baby, we got to go to the corporate party, the holiday party. I'm like, I don't do holidays, baby. He's like, I don't either, but we got to go. I'm like, starting to get a little itchy, you know, when you're around a whole bunch of dogs, you get a little itchy and stuff. I'm like, all right. So now we could have easily went to Belk's, Dillard's, Sears, or wherever and got him a suit. But we decided to go to a little store down here. It's in what they call their downtown. This is a little southern town that I live in. It's very, very small. Literally, their downtown is like two blocks, family, like literally two blocks. It looks like something out of Mayberry, for real. Like, it's a throwback. Anyway, we go there. And let me tell you what this brother does. It's a black-owned store. For a little over $400, no, about $450, my husband got his shoes, and he got his suit, and he got it tailored to him. And what they do, they literally, this brother literally takes his time. He literally does little chalk lines, and he's sitting up here, he's running around trying to get you the right shirt to go with the suit that you got, the right shoes that kick the shoe, the shirt and the tie off. I mean, my husband hasn't been pampered like that, and I don't think ever, you know. He told him, sit down, let me put these shoes on your feet. Now, this is a black business. We always saying black businesses don't treat us right. You a lie. You a lie. And that brother hooked my husband up, and I've never seen my husband look as good as he did that night. And, you know, I got a handsome husband, but that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is he looked damn good. And the suit was not cheap. It was a very expensive suit. And the shoes, those were nice too. So, I mean, family, we can go, we can patronize our own businesses. Make sure our money sees our black hands 5 to 10 times before it has to leave our community. Another thing I want to talk to y'all family, you family about, you have a lot of African brothers and sisters who are on the net, who are on these mean websites or, you know, social networking sites, who are on Facebook, who you know may go to school with. They may have not totally sold out. Start making connections with these brothers and sisters. As soon as they get their degree, they're going back home, and they're going to start an import-export business. Start connecting with these brothers and sisters. I'm already connected to a sister who's over in Liberia. I'm just waiting on word back from her about this import-export thing that, you know, I want to start. So, family, get connected with them, because there are things that they need from us over here and vice versa. And we can start eliminating interference from other people who are coming into the motherland or who are coming into our communities and building shops. Family, we got to stop it. We got to start reconnecting to who we are and start thinking on a global level. We got to start thinking family, you know, and community and a neighborhood level, but we need to start also thinking globally when it comes to international trade. Anything else you want to add on to that, Brother Person Kid?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the international trade and thinking global, okay? I go to get my hair cut, and a lot of times when I go to get my hair cut, I go down the street, the only place that I really can find that has either black, you know, there's a bunch of young brothers and sisters out there that, you know, are learning how to do it. So they're going to this quote-unquote school that's owned by an Asian guy out of Thailand, and basically, you know, it's real cheap, you know, and he's making the money for other folks to do the labor. So when I go, I, you know, over-tip them, you know, just to make sure they have some money to say, look, you know, you're going to get it, you're going to do a good job or whatever it is, just so you can have your own business. Now, the thing is when I walk in, because I speak a little bit of Thai from being around the world, you have to learn these things. You have to learn other cultures, learn other languages, and learn other things, because they are clients, constituents, and customers. You have to think. I mean, I'm just telling black folk, if you want to really succeed, one, learn another language, and hopefully Spanish or whatever. Why? Because it increases your net worth 15%, and you're more literate when they try to challenge and compete against you. You'll know where they're headed, so you can head them off at the pass. The thing is, I'm talking to this guy, and I listen to the conversations. Now, as they're talking about business. They're talking about, you know, places they want to buy, things that they want to create, more, you know, and I can only pick up a few words here and there because it's not like, you know, it's not as perfect as it should be, you know, the language and whatnot for me to understand. The young brothers and sisters that have been there for months, sometimes years, the conversations that they have, and even some of the older Negroes that go over there trying to get some extra money, they should have owned the shop, not that, you know, Thailand, you know, that, not that, you know, that bastard or whatnot. The older black folks should have owned the store, but unfortunately we got too many Negroes out there. The thing is, though, is the mindset of the youth are mirroring what's coming out of the Negro. It's, you know, who won the game? Who's got rims? Who's got that? Who's, you know, I mean, just real prepubescent, mindless, you know, trifling stuff. So I ask the guy, every time I go in, you know, I'm talking to, you know, and asking about what's going on over in Thailand, what's happening, because I'm thinking to myself, they're going to buy the products that will actually enrich the African nation. Okay, it's not about me, I throw my fist in the air and I'm more nationalist because I don't know. That's foolishness, okay? What's logical and what's smart and what other nations are doing because they're taking over is they're saying, hey, I'm going to learn what that other individual is and sell them all my products. And that's literally why you got Negroes running around today. So anyways, I asked the guy, are they learning anything from you? He's like, nobody here even speaks to him. All they do is they go in, and the labor that they use to cut hair, they just make sure he gets paid, you know. So that's the mentality we have to shift. Starting, I mean, again, if the cost of your genocide is in direct proportion of vanity, whether it's beauty on the surface or whether it's the vanity of so-called pride or it's the vanity of so-called, you know, debate or if it's the vanity, I mean, I posted a movie a long time, a little juvie, and it was back in the 70s, and it's called Man Friday. And a lot of, even those of us that think we know more than others, which is, you know, indicative to a lot of our black folk, even nationalists, a lot of them are afraid to really watch, but this is what China used to get over. They did the exact same thing out of this. That's what India did. They're second up. That's what South America, Kaka, did. They're third up, as in global control. The only folks that haven't used it, and it was an actual juvie that was about black folk getting over, okay? And the only folks that haven't used it are black folk. And you'll see when you see the juvie, it's called Man Friday, and I think I threw it on YouTube. The only folks that have commented so far have been Asians, crackers, and Hispanics, and every one of them are using everything they saw in there to try to get ahead. All the black folk talk about is spirituality, who's more nationalist, you know, pump your fist.
Who's,
you know,
blacker,
like,
who's this,
right,
who's that.
In 5 minutes, I can give you more than 2 hours of, man, we planned it. Okay? 5 minutes. If you've got yard work, okay, you've got youngsters that can actually, you know, you can put enough money together, get them a rake. They can do the neighborhood. Next thing you know, you've got $300 in a month, okay? That $300 can go ahead and buy a computer. You can get your youngsters, two of them, to go ahead and do website design, or they could actually put a database for people that need to go shopping, okay? Because there's a lot of crackers out here that don't have time, i.e., they're your clients, your constituents, and your customers. Next thing you know, they're paying you $50 a month to find out what are the best deals, okay? Oh, we found the best deal over here, so you can have this. Next thing you've got 10 crackers. Now you're doing that every month, you've just made $500 a month. Now you take that $500 in a month and you do 4 or 5 months of that. Next thing you got $2,000. Now you can deploy, you can get it into a school that's a black school that's saying, hey, now that we found a need that somebody needs cleaning services or something, or somebody needs repair shops, we've just done all the research. Now we're going to go ahead to all the agents that have all these nice cars, and we're going to tell them, look, we found something better than pay us $60 a month. Next thing you know, I mean, this is the mindset. Like I said, in 5 minutes I can give more than...
Wait a minute, brother. Let me ask you a question. What's the name of that video you said you put up on YouTube?
It's called Man Friday.
M-A-N Friday?
Right.
Okay. Somebody asked that.
That's economics. Economics is not just about money. It's time, till, toil, and task. And I said that on the... I'm not going to go over it again. I said that on your first program. Folks will just have to listen to that. That is what economics is. If you want to, if you don't have control of those four things, Ain't no pumping your fist up talking about I'm black and I'm nationalist and Hotep and, you know, black power. Ain't none of that going to help you if you don't get control of those four things, because all other nations don't have to pump their fist and show the world how proud they are or how much they know about 3,000-year-old concepts and who's more blacker than the others. They don't have to do that. They did Man Friday, and that's why we buy their products, we eat at their restaurants, we are subject to buying water from them, to buying our shoes and our medical care from them. This is what real nationalism is all about. Read Marcus Garvey. Learn from Claude Anderson. Learn from these, I mean, learn from folks who have done it.
So, family, like I said, that's why I didn't make this show. I knew the show wasn't going to have that probably many listeners, because when you start talking about money with black people, they get real funny. That's when they start getting itchy and scratchy. They don't want to hear about it. They, you know, but yet and still, you don't want to hear about this, but you'll go to church and make sure your preacher, your pastor, Pastor Fatback, he's driving in a Bentley and Hillman and his wife are living high on the hog. But when we talk, revolutionaries are not supposed to be poor. This is the reason why a lot of us are so hyper-aggressive and our personalities are volatile, because black people really are allergic to being broke. This is not in our nature. This is unnatural for us to be broke. Like I said, we don't have anybody who's going to invest in us, so it's a must that we start investing in ourselves. You need to purposely seek out your black farmers in your area. And if you can drive, if you live up in Northeast, and you can drive to go and get some Amish chicken, you can drive to go and get some fruits and vegetables from a black farmer. See what I'm saying? So this is something that it's a must that we do to support one another. If you know there's a sister who is starting a natural hair care salon, go support her if you got natural hair and you got the money to spend. Go support her. And like they were saying, like Queen Lioness was saying, and I believe it was Brother Hannibal, I'm not quite sure who it was, but they were saying, stop asking for hookups. Stop it. Because you wouldn't go to Belk's, Dillard's, Elder Beerman's, or any of these other stores, these juice stores, and ask them for a hookup. Now, you see that price tag, you're going to pay for that damn price tag. You're going to pay exactly what that price tag says. You're not going to will and deal. Yo, let me get, man, come on now, hook me up, man. You ain't going to say that. Because all they're going to do is put it right back on the rack, and some other Negro is going to come right along and buy it at price, at that face value price. So stop asking each other for a hookup. If somebody is selling something and it says $15, damn it, pay the $15 and keep it moving. Make sure it's quality product and keep it moving. So how did I just get off on that tangent? I'm not quite sure. But yeah, like I said, a lot of people get real funny acting when we talk about our finances and how in a shamble they are personally and in totality. They're in a shambles, and revolution is not free. Freedom ain't free. The cost of war, you have to factor in all these elements. So if you're really a black nationalist, if you're really a revolutionary like you say you are, put your money where your mouth is. Stop talking about it and be about it. Let's go ahead and get our nation. I mean, I can't really, I sound redundant because I really can't say that enough, because it seems as though people can talk cash money shit in a chat room or have all these grand ideas, but when it comes time to show and prove, they get real funny acting. So I'm a little cynical today, family. You got to excuse me. I'm in rare form. Usually this is not the first time you hear. Right, but
I'm digging it. I mean, basically, Sister Fasami, I believe, like I say, I'm direct, and I like to give out. I mean, I've given out so many solutions. Most of the time, these crackers and Mexicans, a fraction of what they come to pay me for, they black folk will use a fraction of. I mean, they only get a fraction of what I'm telling you tonight, and they pay top dollar to get that little fraction, and they'll use it, expound on it, and then, you know, 90% of us will go to them to buy the things that they could get free. I'm just trying to tell y'all, there's ways. Okay. You talk about black farmers. Okay. Everybody knows a mom, a friend, an aunt, a dad, or somebody who has a small yard, okay? Here's what you do. You go out and you buy some seeds, whether it's seeds like for spices or, you know, whatever grows very fast and very easy in your neighborhood. Then what you do is you have your 8 and 9-year-olds out there, because this is what I did when I was a youngster. I worked on a farm. I'm glad you brought up that I was an I got my degree as an architect and a draftsman. I designed recording studios and stuff. That's what got me in the music biz. But the thing is the thing that I learned when I worked on, I had my own little county farm plot. I was 9 years old, and I had, you know, it was like a quarter of an acre that I had to tend to, and it was just me. But you get these youngsters, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds or whatnot, you get them out there, and you instead of watching TV and getting on the computer and Facebook or whatnot, you know, and just having fun, you let them learn about how to plant things. They get out there, you push them, you make sure that they do that every day. They tend to make sure that backyard or whatever, they don't have to get, you know, like these community gardens I see that the Mexicans are putting up like crazy where I'm at. Now, as they're working that, and their family or their friends or whatnot, when they get on the computers and stuff, and when they do that, you get them to learn about what makes those plants good, you know, what makes them grow fast, how to care for them. Before they get on and start talking about games or anything else, that's what they do first. Then you make a deal with your local store or your local, like, mom-and-pops type of Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or whoever. Talk to the distributor. Talk to the other things. Say, look, we have these children product, or these children they're putting together. They've got all it is spices. And when I say mom and pops, it's a lot easier because they don't have the restrictions that a lot of these food chains have. And it's almost right. Even better because, you know, the food chains are still cracker-owned. But, again, other people are clients, constituents, and customers. They're not my friends. I don't care about them. No low-life Arab, no Hispanic, nobody else. It's about putting black dollars and putting money into black pockets, turning it into black wealth. And the thing is when these children are doing this, okay, you do it even if you have to go through your school program, even if you have to rotate from garden to garden or whatnot, as some children might be the planters, some might be the ones to water it, but getting them more involved in this, you start selling at these mom-and-pop stores, okay? The products that are made and sold or whatnot, if you can't do it from your own front yard, you can do it there. You go ahead and make sure that the person whose water you use and everything is taken care of, so they're making a little bit of a premium, and their land is put to use. The other monies that you make from that, okay, not only can it go toward doing things like that, but what my mom did is she taught us how to do janitorial work, not only for whether it was homes, but we went to office buildings, you know, and it was just her and six children. So what you do is the children that instead of getting on the internet or whatnot and learning about Facebook, you have a section of children that are learning everything from how to clean toilets to how to fix sinks, okay? And with the money, because it gives you a lot of pride when you the very first time I had my paper out and I got my first checks, it was mine, okay? You're instilling something that a lot of these children don't have because of the Facebooks and because of the mindless TV and all that. You're giving them a sense of pride that they created something for themselves, okay? They're making their own college fund in their mind if people want to go that route. But it's the thought. So then these children are learning on the net, okay, this is the best thing, a natural product or whatever, that we can use to clean this sink or to clean that. And then what you do is you get them out and make it a fun project. There's ways of doing it without making things a chore, especially when you know you created it and you got paid for something that you've created and done. When these young 9, 10, whatever, start getting more and more into that and start seeing their bank accounts get better, then you can talk to other children that are very good at mending socks or doing whatnot. Basically, we're putting the things in our corner, okay, and creating money for ourselves. And it doesn't have to be a whole overwhelming thing. It could start small. It could start with 2 packets of seeds that are, what, 3, 5 bucks? I mean, that $5 could be amplified many times over just by doing one little thing after the next. These are, like I said, 5 minutes.
Another thing I want to start seeing more of in our communities, with me and my cousin, who's exactly 1 year older than me, we had a lemonade stand when we were, I was 5, he was 6. And I would put the ice in the cup and he would pour it because, you know, he was big cousin, so he had to pour it and make sure nothing dripped and fell. And we sold it for 20 cents a cup.
Beautiful.
And
you know,
people,
okay,
I just want to say that is something so lame and so silly and so funny. But you know what? when we got that 20, when we got our money, and when the day was about over, it's probably about 5 or 6, maybe about 7 o'clock p.m., we've been out there all day long selling. We would have probably about $5 to $7, okay? We would go right up to Nobles or Knickknacks. These are stores, like I said, in the west side of Dayton. Knickknacks is no longer there, but Nobles is still there. We would run to Nobles. My grandmother didn't let me go to Knickknacks because he was a pedophile, so my cousin, he liked little girls. So Jason, my cousin, would probably go in, but she really kind of like banned us from Knickknacks. But anyway, we would run to Nobles, and we would go and buy penny candy. And we had, and Nobles was a black man, and he owned the corner, the store, the candy store, where you can go and get your candy, play your lottery, get your cigarettes, get whatever, you know, your whatever it is that you wanted. He had the little local store before 7-Eleven came along. So we would run there, and we would buy penny candy, and we didn't have to ask our mothers who were sisters. We didn't have to ask them for any money or whatever, and we tried to learn that, well, I guess they tried to encourage that entrepreneurial spirit inside of us. So family, something simple as a lemonade stand. Go back to old school. Let's make sure our children are doing that. Next summer, I want to see more lemonade stands out there, dagnabbit.
I hear
go
you.
Go ahead.
You just gave me an idea. You know what else works, which is beautiful, and especially for black folks that live in cold areas, okay, and they're amongst... The first thing we do is we go down, we shouldn't, but the Negro, but the crackers do definitely this, they go down to Starbucks. They go down to the nearest. If you have a neighborhood coffee, chocolate, cider stand, to where all of a sudden, you know, the cost, like I said, it's not that much, where folks that don't have a chance to get to the Starbucks, that don't have a chance to get to and you make it a very familiar thing, okay, to where they stop by yours first. Pretty soon, a lot of folks that are spending those $3 and $4 lattes are going to say, I think I can get the same thing buying Folgers. But if they don't have the time or the patience or still want a little bit of, okay, I just want someone else to do it for me, that goes so, especially if you, like I said, other people are walking ATMs for black folk. All we do is take withdrawals. They're not people. They're like biological ATMs. They just walk and provide us cash. That's the mentality that a lot of us have to adhere to. So if you've got a chocolate stand, a hot chocolate, whatever, you know, I mean, anyone that's lived in New York and sees those guys on the street, I mean, they're not doing that for free. And many of them are looking like they're still around, so they are making money. So they have to buy something to eat. So they are making some kind of cash. If you've got youngsters that you can monitor and make sure there's a supervision or something, that would be another idea as to being able to say, well, look, we made $20 a day. Well, that $20 a day is 100, you know, what is that, 140 bucks a week, you know? I mean, that's what, 500, 600, and see, that's 160, and my math is kind of because I'm pacing. So I'm just trying to tell you what can be made, the kind of money that can be made, okay? That kind of money, like I said, my mom, 6 children, we all had at least $300 to $600, and with 6 children in the 70s, at least that in a month. Okay, and that was, that's surplus capital. That's not after, that's just doing one thing, okay? When we start to get that kind of mentality, recycling of old phones, making sure we can pick up certain things that people don't need, you know, and say, okay, well, we'll take it down and we'll consign for garage sales and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. You know, here's the inventory of products you want sold because we know it's in a recession. Let us take that off your hands. We'll get all that to the flea market. So you've got young brothers between the ages of 14 and 15 making what, $20-$30 a day, just making sure that they can put up a stand or get this stuff to the flea markets or wherever else. The crackers or whoever else has got all this material, they're going to get what they get, but the brothers, you know, 16, 15 or whatnot, made their money putting this enterprise into effect. You know, these are ways of like I said, true nationalism is not throwing up your fist. It's doing for your race and your people something productive that can be handed down and down through generations and generations to make sure that your race and your people conquer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I just wanted to let you know, I got a private IM from a person in the chat room, and they wanted to let you know that they are really enjoying listening to this because it's true facts. So, and the reason why I know a lot of people have heard Brother Person Kid on here before, well, anytime I talk about economics or finances, I'm going to employ this gentleman because he's an expert on the subject. He's an expert on the subject when it comes to trading, the stock market, international trade, what to invest in, what's going to happen to your 401ks, what is happening currently to your 401ks, all that good stuff. He's given my husband advice on his 401k. He has given Brother Kush, the Black Unifier, financial advice. There are people who are seeking out advice. I'm like, why is she having? Well, this is the reason why I'm having him on the show. I'm not gonna have a kike on the show or a small hat on the show, giving you financial advice. They don't care about you. So, and they want to know, are you on Facebook, sir?
I am, but it's mostly in trading. If they want to leave their
Facebook, you don't marry. I understand you don't marry these two things. You don't marry your national thing, which are your trading. Of course, you got to separate business from this.
Right.
If you want to find him, Brother Superlion, if you are on the Drop Squad, go ahead and look for him, Person Kid. Look for him on the Drop Squad, and that's for everybody who wants to know that. That's www.thedropsquad.com. Once again, www.thedropsquad.com. What?
The thing that I only use Facebook or most of the time Ning or even YouTube for is either to get information on how to get money or to deploy money or how to try to find a way to get black folk a way to get the information to get money or deploy money. As if it comes down to, like, because a lot of us, and Brother Chris said it best, we're putting all this personal information out there, and we're talking like, you know, we want to. That's basically, we're giving the crackers all our plans. I mean, I'm telling everybody too much than I should have, okay? Of what I said tonight should have been at a very closed, untapped, you know, and I'm sure that they, you know, the coup probably is tapping our phones while we're speaking. But the thing is the only reason a Facebook or any other stuff exists for me and is because every little time I go there, if there's not something that I could say, this will help such and such be able to learn how to sew shoes better or clean shoes, or this will help someone how to fix or get a computer better, or this will help somebody how to do this, or maybe I can learn how to trade better, or, you know, there's some more economic advice that I might not know, or somebody that wants to learn how to fix or to learn how to use Word or whatever. That's the only reason ever we should use these things that these devices called social networking or whatever that these crackers put up to learn all our secrets. The only reason. Other than that, we can communicate, but communicate very tacit, or should I say very diluted, so others don't know what we're saying or what we're feeling. We could do that in person. Or like Brother Kush says, we could shake hands. But these other things, that they, all this technology, this pagers, this Facebook, this MySpace, YouTube, all that is either a diversion or a tool for economic development. It depends on what you want to use it for.
Absolutely. And they're saying, you know, Kimmett's son, he's saying Facebook is the perfect intelligence, too. That's why the CIA has a major share with the company under a dummy name. He meant to say intelligence tool. Absolutely. Family Facebook is directly attached and linked to CIA. Be careful of the information you put out there. Everybody who's familiar with my Facebook page, Kasami Akinkunle, they know I don't talk about anything personal out there. The most personal I get is when I go to YouTube and I post YouTube videos on my Facebook page. But other than that, I don't get personal. You don't know anything about me on that Facebook page. I'm not putting it out there. My thing is, them fat-ass pigs, they need to work for their money. I'm not going to make it that easy. I'm not going to give out my government name. I'm not putting my phone number down on the info wall. Have you lost your mind? I'm not putting my real email address that I use for business purposes out there. Family, we got to get away from this, and we got to get back into actually meeting with one another, because black people have always been experts and keen. We've always been keen on when you're in our cipher, when we are sharing the same energy field, the same space, we can smell bullshit. We know we can smell swine. We can smell pork. If you are a pig, we can smell who you are. It's just certain mannerisms that they have that we don't have. It's certain things that they say. That, now, I know you say they studied us and blah, blah, blah. But they're not that smart. They're going to slip up. They're going to slip up. So, therefore, it's best to meet and talk in person in a place where only you and the people who are supposed to know know. When you're going to start talking about plans, don't get on Facebook talking crazy and reckless at the mouth, having diarrhea of the mouth, talking all. I mean, just stop. And really, how much of an e-gangster can you really be? I mean, really. One of the things that I told Brother Sean Quali a while ago, I learned this a while ago also, you know, arguing with somebody on Facebook or the Internet is like the Special Olympics. Yeah, you might win, but you're still retarded. So come on now, family. Let's exert our energy and our time on something more productive, like making sure our babies survive this matrix, making sure we have our own nation, making sure that we are adhering to the 10-point platform, making sure that we are becoming self-sufficient, independent, a respectable people. And I don't care about anybody else who I'm talking about, respect amongst ourselves. One of the things, once you start teaching your children these entrepreneurial things, also key in that is teach them customer service and how to treat their people properly. One of the things that kills me is I get worse treatment from my own people when I go to a store than anybody else. Anybody else who's outside of the black race. Brother Kush, she touched on that yesterday also. So my thing is, family, come on now. Let's teach our children customer service skills when it comes to, it's not really customer service skills. It's reciprocity. It's ma'at. Teach them how to treat people so that treatment will come back to them. That starts building trust among us. It starts to tear away at this whole Willie Lynch syndrome of not trusting one another and hating one another. Let's start treating each other with integrity. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 6 p.m., I'm going to be there at 5:55. If I tell you that I'm going to donate $200 to your cause, your movement, your business, I'm going to donate $250. Let's start working from a basis of integrity and trust to start, like I said, tearing down this Willie Lynch syndrome that we are in. Infested with, because like I said, we hate each other and we're working on a level of distrust and disdain and hatred. So family, come on, let's get it together. Really. Is there anything you want to add? We have 8 minutes left in the show. I'm not going to prolong it any longer.
Sister Sasami, I mean, I just have to tell you, thank you so much for you brought up this thing about the privacy thing. And you and Brother Kush and there's a select few have seen my face, so they know I'm a brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing is, even on my YouTubes or anything else, I don't use a camera, okay? If we can't listen to each other just by words, like we do on the phone or like many try to do text paging, if we don't have that ability and we need to see shiny things and, oh, I got to see videos and this and that, it kind of tells you that's another diversion. Sometimes the ears can hear more and see more than the eyes ever can. So the thing is getting back to listening to each other. That's why it's like people will not see my face. I don't want these crackers out there looking at my face. Maybe when we're in a forum, I can't wait to show everybody. I will not take pictures, okay, with others, especially around crackers. I try to avoid pictures. The thing is it's just common sense, okay? No matter how many I may have to deal with and no matter how many may want my trading techniques or whatever, They're not going to get it, okay? And they're not going to get my personality or my face because nobody knows whatever's going to happen out there. Another thing that black folk, in order for us to practice good economics, and I think, Sister Fasami, these are the things that I told you before that we lack because we've been beaten in, you know, and basically tore up from the floor up, trust, respect, sharing, and love, okay? And the ability to accept something that we might not know or something that we might, because number one, we've been beaten out of not trusting each other. We're dissing and player hating. We've got new terms and a whole what they want to call ebonicisms. for the ways we disrespect or diss each other, sharing. Somebody might have information or something that you may need, but just because they think that, you know, that somebody else has got more than them, they ain't going to give it to them, okay? Love, and that has to do with pride. We, as proud as we are, sometimes our pride, as John Henry Clark says, this is before our progress. And I'll even expound on that and say our pride to progress is, you know, the ratio of pride under progress is in direct proportion to our foolishness, okay? And the last is to be able to accept, okay? There's a lot of things I don't know. It's not a game of who's better than who or more black than who or who knows more or who's more nationalist. No. There's a lot of stuff I want y'all to teach me, and I can't wait to learn it like a child. Listen to each other. We don't have to use pictures and videos. Listen and learn like you're an infant and absorb and say, thank you. Here's what I have to share for you. Because if we don't do that, we ain't going to have that other principle, and that's love.
Mm-hmm. So these are the platforms we need to work on or work from when dealing with one another family. Once again, I'm going to end the show the same way I started the show. We are all we got. We don't have any alliances. Don't fall into the illusion of inclusion. Do not subscribe to this integrationist bull crap. We are literally all we got. No one is on your side. No one likes you. I don't care what lip service they give you. Understand, look at their actions, look at history, look at where we're at this point in time in history from where we used to be. You know, and understand that you have no friends, family. We all we got, so we better start learning to work with one another. We better start spending money with one another. We better start building this nation because we will perish. We will die without one another. So, family, like I said, I'm going to leave you the same way I came. I'm going to give you a mighty, mighty black power. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. I got another radio show tomorrow, Operation Challenge and Convert. That's the name of the show now. It's not the Sami Show. It's Operation Challenge and Convert right here on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. I'm going to have Brother Nubin Menkares. That is going to be a very interesting show, brothers and sisters, so tune in, 8 p.m. tomorrow, and I look forward to seeing all of my beautiful, beautiful black family there. And I got a service from Brother Sun Nubian. Oh, he just came in, huh? Brother Sun Nubian, I'm gonna leave it with your favorite line. Let's get it, family. Peace.
Like no tomorrow, Nappy Roots Dynasty, yeah, 2G Black Power Cordell, this living hieroglyph, the truth in your ear, run it, these crackers sucking dog dicks in the closet, but you love them cause they pay your first and 15 deposits, lot of niggas broken, starving with CDs in their trunk, them dummies signing major deals and white to eat in them up, I sit the stairs and he don't guarantee, some they hate and disagree, entertainment's only a small revolution remedy, I know a lot of gatos across the Flotto, stop that lock and load so we could bump and never borrow. Street code propriety, black power dynasty. Fuck boys and skinny jeans can't rock in our society. We should buy food, land, shelter, more choppers. To drain the wicked cash day and serve them something proper.
Wake up, black man. Wake up, African man, African woman. Wake up. Take back what is yours. Do not ask these bitches for your shit.
Black power, 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 black power,
a way to build a nation totally black. Real G's follow policy of Latinx mothers. Watch slaves love the masses, house this shit on their brothers. Cut the throat of enemies like the boat Nat Turner. And tell your comrades to get glad while burning this summer. Time,
just the way we get down.
Ain't it? The cartel maintaining. Black power reigning.
Revolution that already jumped off. Nigga, you just ain't engaging in battle. You taking an ass whoop. Untold proportion. And so that's why the babies again don't respect the elves. Man, cause they getting slayed out here. And all motherfuckers can keep talking about is it's coming. Motherfucker revolution not coming. It's already here.
Hotel.
Don't say the revolution is coming. It's already here. The fact is, you just ain't joined in with this situation. The cracker is throwing blows, but you ain't throwing no blows back. You taking all the motherfuckers' pain, the punishment. You understand what I'm saying?